This podcast is recorded on the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and we'd like to acknowledge and pay respect to the traditional custodians of this country in which we work and live.
Hi, everyone. Hi. We still haven't quite figured out how to start these episodes, have we?
No, every time we start on some
ridiculous... It's like, hi.
I know, and we've already said hi. We've already arrived.
The listener's kind of like a person at a lunch that they weren't invited to. Yeah, like they're a waiter at a lunch table and they're just hearing us greet each other.
This is a staged catch-up. We've already caught up.
Hi.
Hello.
That voice is the wonderful Jake Howie joining us.
Hi.
His voice broke.
Oh, thank you. Finally.
I'm outranked. You got two Kiwis, one Aussie.
Yeah, if you could just respect that, we'd really appreciate it.
Respect. Am I getting at all better at that word? Respect?
No. That sounds really Australian.
One day I'll do it.
Like your accent. Respect.
You've got to flitten your veals.
That sounds quite
South African.
It is a bit South African.
Flitten your veals. I don't know about you, Floyd, but I like to think I sound British, but then everyone's like, you really don't. Yeah. But I'm like, don't I sound like the Queen?
I like to say that I have a neutral accent.
This is something because... this is going to segue in soon, but like, do you think New Zealanders are good singers? Because I feel like the accent isn't good.
Does anybody sing like, in the New Zealand accent? I will always love you.
But New Zealanders, I reckon New Zealanders are definitely better musos all around. Because music just seems to be so prevalent in art.
I'm assuming you're talking about Floyd as well.
About our album.
Musical
prowess. Have yet to release.
Your national anthem is already a banger before ours, definitely. Like every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, it's beautiful.
Although, have you ever listened to like the full national anthem? Like obviously in high school, we used to like only sing part of the Māori national anthem and then part of it in English, but never the full thing. Like verse three and four is so long.
Yeah, we would do like a verse in English, a verse in Māori, and then that was it.
That's a bloody tangent. But you have some really great musicians. Some of my favourite musicians.
We definitely
are Kiwi natives.
On that note,
time for the song.
I've got notes.
I've got notes too.
I've got notes too. they're different.
Much like our artist that we're chatting about today. Who is it, Jake?
It's Lord.
Okay, so Jake, before we talk about Lord, we have to do this segment in our show because we don't have any money, called the Royalty Free Demonstration. So we have on our social media, I've got notes, our playlist. Link tree, you can find it in our Instagram bio. You can find the playlist that we make to go along with every episode of like a couple of the songs from each artist we talk about. So if you want to be like sensible, you can go and listen to that to get an idea of this artist. But if you're bored and if you don't want to do that, if you're lazy, Floyd and I will demonstrate our artist this week.
And we'll have Jake do one too. You start us off.
Yeah.
Just for the Lord song. It just can't be it can't be that good. Otherwise, APRA will.
That will be really hard for me though.
No, you're a guest. They can't come for you. It's fine. They'll come for us. We're the ones making the show. So I'll go. I'll go first. Right?
Definitely won't get sued for that. Yep,
it's just hard R's.
It sounds very like punk rock 1992 kind of
Okay, my one. I'm putting my hands up to get
everyone. She's got her eyes closed, everybody. This is taking this seriously.
She is Lord.
Synesthesia. Synesthesia.
Lord.
This is coming for her.
Okay.
All right, sorry.
Don't you see that it's boring?
Are you going for a shit, boy? What's going on? That sounds like me when I'm constipated.
It can't be.
We're actually holding back. It can't be too good.
It can't be too good.
And that's the reason it's bad.
Yeah, Jake, do you want to do
Jake,
one?
Give us your best Lloyd.
Okay.
Those great whites, they have baked teeth.
Hope they bite you.
Oh, nice.
Hope they bite you.
Oh, it's Lord in her accent.
Yes.
I would pay for that deluxe album. Like,
don't you
a redo of Melodrama.
It's boring how
people talk. Including me.
So you selected Lord. Is that why? Is she your...
I love her.
Okay. You love her?
I love her so much.
I love her too. Yeah. I wonder if that's because we're Kiwi or you think it's beyond that.
It might be a national crime for you guys not to.
I mean, it would be kind of shit if we didn't like her, but it started like, oh my God, when she first came out, it was like the first New Zealander, I think, probably there's been someone before, but that ever was like on who?
Kimbra.
Oh, that was shade. So Royals came out, I was like, yeah, she's a Kiwi. And then as it kind of went on and I started listening. I was probably in my late 20s when she came out, and I had teen fandom for the first time since my teen years.
That's how I feel about Olivia Rodrigo now.
Yes.
I love.
I'm like, fuck my ex from when I was 17. No, Lord is the best. Can you believe she was signed when she was 13 years old?
Fucking hell.
I mean, what were you guys doing at 13 years old?
Not getting signed, that's for sure. I was probably
when you guys
signed.
Yeah. Oh, that's really awkward. It actually was. So embarrassing.
Oh, it's embarrassing for us.
But 13, how could you be, what would you be writing about at 13?
How would they find you?
Oh, New Zealand's pretty small. I imagine they just had a chopper that went, that one's talented. Yeah. Boop, like a claw machine.
I know she did like Battle of the Bands and stuff. Do you? How did they find her?
Of course I did. I'm a fan. Of course, like, I've Googled
you
this.
Found her.
I found her. I was like, you're talented.
How did they find her?
So she was in like, I actually think it was Battle of the Bands. Oh. I actually think it was. She was in, and then she did some showcase for a radio station, and then they sent the tape of the showcase into Sony or whatever.
Wow.
And they signed her. was that in harmony?
Wow. The spirit of Owen Wilson just took over. They sent it into Sony and she was picked up.
And she was signed. But it was a development deal. So did you know they do that? They develop artists.
Not at all. I would have known. If I'd known, I would have applied.
I wish I was developed.
I know. I sometimes think, like, at 37, maybe I'll get discovered. Who knows?
Oh, my God, a fresh face. That's what I think. Every year I age, I'm just like, how long can I keep saying new?
Yes.
How long can you keep saying up and coming
emerging comic?
Just down and out now, I think. So sad.
Stagnant.
Stoically stagnant.
They should add an award at comedy festivals. Like, you know how there's, like, best newcomer?
Yeah.
And then there's, like, I don't know, most outstanding. They should have, like, the stag.
The plugging away.
Yes. The stag plugging away.
The plugging away
is great. God. We should pitch that.
So we could win it. That's why.
Finally, a category for us.
Oh my God.
A tie between three people.
Yeah. Wait, so she was signed at 13, and then what was she doing?
So she would just go in on New Zealand. Yeah, she would just go in on her school holidays to like the recording studio, and she would just record songs with the guy that produced her. I can't remember his name. What is it?
Don't look at me. I can Google it.
It's Greg. Is it Greg?
Is it Greg?
We look at each other like, should we know this? Wasn't he part of the?
Is it Greg?
Is it Greg? It's Greg someone.
Her first album.
He was the guy that produced it. She would go to his
Joel Little.
Yeah. And they would just record songs, and then one day they just kind of and they probably did it for a few years, and they stumbled upon Royals. I think. Yeah.
Imagine stumbling upon Royals. Like, oh, this just came out of my head naturally.
It just wrote itself.
Well, she's interesting. Most of her music she writes lyrics first.
She does,
which is an interesting way around to do it.
Brave,
yeah.
I feel like
not know what the music.
Well, the thing is, it's weird to like have. I've never been a musical comedian. But when I write songs, I sort of do it like a jigsaw, kind of like a
putting
bit of
it
both.
Together. Yeah,
like I might come up with a chorus that's really good lyrically. Yeah. But I'll always have like a melody in my head. The idea of writing like poetry without music going in
full
my head.
Full stop. Just the idea of writing or reading poetry.
It's cringy, doesn't it? Yeah. Like,
but then all the best songwriters, they're like, yeah, so I wrote all these poems down and then, of course, they became my hits. And you're like,
yeah, I know.
I don't know.
The lyrics are beautiful.
I often, because I do songs in my comedy as well, and I think I often write like poemy type rhymey poems with a beat in my head.
Yeah. Sony, listening to this, Jake is available.
Unless you're ready to be developed.
But she has that condition, synesthesia. Do you guys have? You don't have that, right?
I don't. If I do, I am a boring
person.
I wish
I had it. Do you? It's that thing where you like.
Jon
Utzon, who designed the Opera House, also had it. He's
and
dead.
Billie Eilish too.
Yeah.
Where they like see and hear. All their senses are like sort of.
They see colors when they listen
to music and vice versa, and tastes and sound and things all play into it.
It sounds really fun.
It sounds like you're on drugs all the time.
Which sounds amazing. Super fun.
Yeah, it does
so
sound.
Keen.
It is amazing how much like music makes you feel. Wow, what a deep comment.
You ran into something with Floyd.
Music
you should
really
write that down.
Write that down.
Do you know that album? One of the facts I love about that album is the first lyric is, "Don't you think it's boring how people talk?" And the last lyric on the album is, "Let him talk."
Oh, that's circular. Yeah,
circular. She's a genius. I just love her so much. If she's listening to this, do you think she Googles herself?
Oh, I doubt it.
Ella, yell at your Connor. She doesn't have
social media.
The amount of shit she'd find.
Does she have social media?
No.
She had an Onion Rings review.
Oh, she did. She did.
Do you remember that? I remember when I found out about that.
She often doesn't use it as that. Like, she's not active on social media.
She's not, but every now and then she'll send a story.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But she does. She did have the Onion Ring.
I remember that. I was in high. So when Lord hit her peak, I was in high school. I was, I was in high school.
I was 53.
Yeah, I was probably like year 10, year 11. And so obviously she was like the Olivia Rodrigo of the era.
Yeah.
And everyone fucked with Lloyd.
Like, is this a new artist? Have we changed the
Fuck no.
She's Kiwi for sure. Everyone fucked with Lloyd. And
what do you mean everyone fucked with
Lloyd? No, it was at every house party. It was at every day. Like, we fucked with it. Like,
love
it
the Aussie. Fuck with Lloyd.
Fuck with Lloyd. Fuck that.
Debbie is such a wholesome musical comedian. Just rogue there. You're a fuck with Lord.
But anyway, I vividly, like, I attribute particularly Pure Heroin just to, like,
I'm going to say it here, best album.
Yeah.
I think Pure Heroin.
Oh, no,
Melodrama.
I just loved Pure Heroin.
I feel real nostalgia for Pure Heroin because when I listen to it, I'm like, God, I just remember. I think I might have smoked like a first blunt to a song by her. Yeah. I think I might have seen my friends hook up with their friends to those songs. Like, it's like such a memory attributed thing for me. But it's weird because I was never really like, I don't even think I ever listened to the whole album all the way through during that time.
But it was just kind of later I went back. With that era,
is Tennis Court in
Pure Heroin?
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite. I just love that album.
Melodrama was like,
why do you like Melodrama?
I like it because it was so risky. I mean, when I first heard it, I was like, this is incredible. And just the different kind of lyrical content and
vulnerable.
And I think at that time when that album came out, I was probably like 20, in my late 20s, single in London. No, I wasn't single, sorry. I wasn't single. I think I'm going to be married at the time.
Confirmed liar.
I felt single.
I felt single.
I was just fucking with Lord.
You're fucking with Lord, yeah.
But I just remember it came out and it was just like a moment. It was like nothing I'd ever heard before. And I really, really loved it. And I think the songs are like, there's like, and what's that? A Melodrama 2, and they've got the... Yeah. It's quite classical music, and she's all like, I can't sing, can I? So I'm just going.
Put that back in the royalty free version. It's really funny.
You're shitting. I sound like I'm coming. Lord's like, is that what you got from that song?
Is Melodrama your favourite album as well?
Yeah. Wow. Just musically, out of the two. Three. Sorry.
Let's talk about it. Solar Power. What are your thoughts? It's quite controversial.
Can I just say, Solar Power is one of the most interesting albums of my life because when it came out, I remember it was the middle of lockdown last year. Or maybe it was just about to start, or it was around, I think it was August. Yeah, so it was lockdown.
Okay.
And I was so excited about it.
Lockdown?
I was like, I actually had like an album release party with just me and my husband. And he was like, "Who, Lord?" You know, because I had idea. He was like, "Oh fuck!" And I listened to it, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?" Like, it was so, you know. And it's one of those albums that I absolutely hated, but I listened to thinking, oh, "I really want to love it because I love her other stuff."
Mm-hmm.
And as I listened to it, I was like, "Oh, it's not that bad." There's a few songs I like. Then I started listening to those ones, and I thought, "Oh, I'll try this one again." And now
it's a grow up.
I love it.
Oh wow!
Which usually, if I don't like it on the first listen, an album in general, I fucking love it. But my favorite Lord song is on Solar Power. My all-time
favorite. What's the favorite?
It's one of the bonus tracks, and it's called "Hold No Grudge."
Uh-huh.
It is a banger. It's such a good song.
And when you first listened to it, did you like it or no?
I did, but it didn't capture me. It was like, this is, you know, it was all very fluffy and 70s and whatever. But then now, I think it would be my second favourite. I think I prefer it to Pure Heroin.
My God, that's so controversial. I wouldn't agree.
to put it lightly.
Thank you for your opinion, but also it's fucking
shit. Wrong. No, but it was, I agree with you though that I've listened to it first time and was like, I hate it. And then it did grow on me. I wouldn't say I hate it now. It's not my favourite album, but I do love some of the tracks. Solar Power is really good. Also, the Māori version she released is pretty cool.
Holy shit, I didn't even know that happened.
It was quite controversial in New Zealand. And it was...
Against it or...?
Well, I think it's because they were like, you know, she's a Pākehā, like white artist doing Māori songs, but she worked with a lot of different Māori kind of artists and a language professor, I believe.
Yeah.
But it caused a lot of discourse that was sometimes against, sometimes pro her, but both sides of it, people were talking about it. Yeah, so Māori totally. Language and culture was really in the forefront because of what she did, which I think is a positive thing. It doesn't have to be that she did the right thing, but it was a good conversation to have.
So just emotionally, so Solar Power, what was going on for Lord emotionally then? Was she happy in a relationship?
Yeah, I think she was happy. The problem was that a lot of people didn't like the album because she was happy. Problem,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
in melodrama, she was so
She was
sad.
Real. And
was that after a breakup?
That well, yeah, because the so the guy she was with, the guy that she writes about on Pure Heroine, cheated on her.
I didn't know this.
According to the lyrics of Greenlight.
Yeah.
What about you? Yeah, it was like it says about how like you, she thinks you have the beach, you're such a damn liar and all this sort of stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
I will say one of the music videos annoys me. I think it's Solar Power where she's like throw away our phones and stuff like that. And I'm like, don't ever throw away your
it
phone.
It feels
okay?
culty.
Have it near you. Okay, at all
yeah, she
times.
Says throw it away.
All
you're right, like, isn't the album about being really sustainable? Don't fucking throw away your phone.
Throw away
it's
your
just
phone.
Being really
especially into the ocean. Wow, awesome with the fish.
What about the dolphins, for fuck's sake?
Exactly.
What do we think of her? Okay, bit of a controversy.
You're making up new
it's
words.
It's the Kiwi.
Incredible.
You.
I am Lord.
Yeah.
No, what do we think about the fact that she's faced criticism about her like awkward dancing? Because I've seen her live and it was very awkward dancing, but it was sort of endearing in a way.
I think the thing is, I think she knew, whether she does it actually knowingly or whether it is second nature to her, on some level.
It's certainly unchoreographed, right? No one is giving her...
Can you imagine that choreographer? All right, Lord, so what are you going to do with this next song? Create like a bit of a claw
shape. Claw and
convulse.
But do you know what? Yes. Can I just say, when you said that I had an epiphany, I think I know the mystery of Lord and why we love her so much. Okay. It's because she came up at a time where it was this, you know, Katy Perry, Beyonce, pop perfection where every single move was, and a one, two, three, you know, and it was all very kind of, you know.
All very sexualized.
And she came out, and the song that she came out with was actually basically saying, we need to be real, fuck you, this is so boring for us. Yeah. We don't give a shit about all this crap. And it was one of the biggest, I think, musical fuck yous in history. And then all of a sudden, next minute, Taylor Swift was releasing albums that were all like, you know.
Fuck this, fuck the industry.
And it was all very like, wait, are you Lord? Taylor, yes. Like, what's going on?
Well, she inspired
I know that
movement.
I think you're both Taylor Swift fans.
We are.
I'm so different.
Watch your words.
I'm like actually got a knife to my neck right now,
but
everybody.
They're friends. Lord and Taylor are friends.
When was the last time when they were photographed together?
Squad. Like 2000 and.
Yeah, 2000 and what? Hmm?
Yeah, see,
I think something has happened.
12, 13?
I get very weirded out about that.
It was so the last time they were officially, it was them with Haim, which is like, can you imagine that party? Haim, Taylor Swift, and Lord. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
But it was like 2017, and there's been nothing since. And of course, there's been the pandemic.
Yeah.
But that's no excuse.
That's no excuse.
Taylor, I'm sorry, we need an update.
Yeah. But maybe that's also because Taylor is very private now
as well.
As Lord. Lord was always private.
Why are you rolling his eyes? Why?
I just find her irritating.
The voice, the song.
It's just all. I just also. You know how Lord was convulsing. There's nothing that convulses about Taylor Swift ever. It's all so premeditated.
Nah,
it is very
polished and polished. Like agreed. Yeah. And her.
I
sound
do appreciate
changes
her
a lot.
Ripaway outfits from the early thousands. That was fun.
I enjoy the stories she tells in her song.
Me and Floyd are having a showdown right now.
Okay.
We're like, well, I think.
See, I come from the perspective of like, I don't think I ever, apart from Beyonce, I don't really think I've ever been so in the fan base of anyone, really.
Oh my God.
Like,
I've been
like, you know, the Beehive, when Lemonade came out, I think that took everything out of me. And after that, I was like, I actually can't give everything.
Yeah, you need to pick and choose.
Yeah,
who
so like, I appreciate both artists, but I think what's interesting about the convulsy dancing
thing,
Lord
is more
though,
of a movement. Like, she
definitely influenced.
Influenced other artists. Yeah. Although I would say that Taylor has as well.
Yeah.
But I think Lord influenced the industry, which I think is what's really, like with one song, all of a sudden all of the glitz and glam became a joke.
Yeah.
And so what everyone had been doing until that point looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
what she did with, and again, Solar Power.
She made Dirty look good.
She
like,
did, yeah. And then with Solar Power, you know, she came up with these two incredibly dark, wonderful albums. Then with Solar Power, everybody was going Lord, and so Lord went light, and it was just kind of like, that's so badass. It's very Kate Bush, actually.
She is. You know what? She is incredibly Kate Bush.
20 years, she's going to blow.
She's going to be number one again.
There is going to be a TV show. Let me tell you, it's going to be sci-fi, and they're going to use that shit.
I read some article interview thing with her the other day, Lord, saying that she was that it had been the best and worst year of her life, like musically.
So you're my fan base, my fandom's coming up. But what something else I love, she sends these emails to her fans, and she said this in the email.
Oh my god, what a cutie!
And I feel like as comedians, every month anyone listening, every month.
Wow.
As comedians for the three of us, but everyone listening in any field that you're kind of passionate about, she's like, you know what? It was not met. It wasn't the hit the other ones were.
Oh.
And it's every artist needs peaks and troughs, and this is a time where I had to go down so I can go up again.
Yeah.
And I was like, because when like people find an honest queen, did you
move on from that?
Yes.
No, but I do
honest
love
queen, yes.
I love that though, because like when you sign a record deal, it's like you do sign up for something like usually 5 or 6 albums. Yes. So you have to make it.
And they're not all gonna be at the same level.
And so
yeah.
It is kind of exciting.
Name
to be
one
told.
Artist who's had every album be as amazing as the last. Doesn't exist.
High five.
Say maybe. Wait, I mean, but even
you
Beyonce's
wouldn't
say Beyonce said it.
Beyonce's had a few duds.
Yeah. She had a few duds.
Like B-Day had Irreplaceable, but the rest of it was you know. Yeah. And Beehive, I am part of the Beehive because they find everything.
They find everything.
Those motherfuckers exactly. are
but
really
but that was, I would say, like, if you compared Lemonade to B-Day, Lemonade is clearly superior.
Yeah.
And B-Day
okay,
was,
yeah.
You know,
so exactly. There's
good moments.
Yeah. That's true.
Even I would say the same thing for like I Am Sasha Fierce versus her self-titled. But anyway, like I think what's interesting is that I find so when we're talking about female artists particularly, we find ourselves always bringing up these other iconic names. And I do think it's really interesting that they're all, particularly the women we've been discussing on this podcast, they are kind of their own trailblazer a bit.
Yeah.
And like, it's just so funny that, because there's this thing I read, I'm trying for the
help
life of
compare
me.
Them.
Yeah, I'm trying for the life of me to remember who said this. It might have been Taylor Swift. It could have actually been Lady Gaga, but somebody, and I'll find out and then put it in the edit later, said like, female artists are burdened with the responsibility of constantly having to reinvent themselves over. And if you want to be sustainable in the industry, you don't get the luxury of what most men get, where you set the theme for what you do, and then they do that for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. It's the Justin Timberlake Super Bowl after Katy Perry, Beyonce,
they have
and
to constantly
Gaga
flip it up.
Had to do these extravaganzas. Then Justin Timberlake comes out in literally
jeans.
A flannel shirt,
jeans,
doing the
sorry,
whole like
crime.
You know what's the happy song, whatever he does. And it's just kind of you're sitting there going, is this a joke?
So, Lord, do we think she would ever be asked to do the Super Bowl?
I reckon she already has, but I don't think she'd accept.
She already has?
I don't think she's famous enough.
I think it would be like 10, 20 years.
But also, and I say that, I say that as a compliment to her because I feel like, again, Kate Bush is not Super Bowl. Kate Bush is like culture.
Legacy.
Culture blazing, trailblazing. Mm. Like,
and we're
legacy.
Still talking about her. Yeah.
I truly believe that Lord in 40 years' time will still be selling out like the Enmore Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
Many of like Ariana Grande, maybe not, you know, or Justin Bieber, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I think Lord will have Lord's like, well, I'll be there.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
But you know what I mean? Like that's maybe a bad example, but I feel like her fan base will stay fervent for longer because she's saying something.
Totally. Mm.
Every time she releases an album, people are like, oh, what's she saying?
Yeah.
And that's quite rare in these days.
And it's quite rare to see a fan base stick by her, even if they don't love everything. Like,
totally. They are very passionate. Do you remember when when the rumor went down that Lord had been put in prison? Were you part of this?
This is news to me.
Oh, my God. So in 2019, is that when it was? Yeah. Free Lord started trending. The hashtag on Twitter.
Yes.
Because there'd been some rumor that New Zealand was going to bring in this law that people were going to be fined if they dropped out of high school, which Lord did. She never finished her final year of school. And so anyway, like the rumor blew out of control and people then were like, oh my God, this is going to affect Lord. Lord's in prison. She's been arrested. Free Lord.
And people like, free Lord.
Yeah.
Free.
And she had to be like, I'm not in prison. I'm
I actually led that movement.
I'm just in America.
Like, yeah. In America, they were just like, we've got to save Lord. So it's like, they're very passionate fans.
Wow.
And there was also the, I'm surprised you haven't brought it up actually, the South Park. I Am Lord, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I forgot about that. What happened?
Oh,
I remember
it was
this.
Like this huge, it became a meme, right?
Yeah.
Because one of the, it was like, I think it was Cartman's dad was actually moonlighting as Lord, like it was Lord.
Oh.
Yeah, and so it was like, I am your Lord, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it became this like meme that now still, and there's actually a video of her going, I am Lord, yeah, 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 in an interview.
It's like she often embraces that sort of stuff. Like she embraced the whole shushing incident.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to talk about the shush.
Oh, let's do
so,
it.
Yeah,
let's I've talk got about
the
I've
shush.
Got
let's get this.
Someone made a fucking supercut.
Can't see this, but she's putting her hands up, telling them to shut up.
One person.
Now here's funny. I'm gonna cop some hate for this.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I'm actually scared to say this in front of Jake. Okay. So basically, you have a microphone, right? Yeah. You're in front of a crowd. I've seen people do acoustic or a cappella.
She moves away from the microphone.
Sometimes she seems to. Sometimes she doesn't seem to. But at the same time, I feel like just maybe it's just her fan base don't listen. Maybe that's it. But yeah, like before the song, I feel like you could be like, now, guys, I love doing this silently.
Yeah. Yes.
I would love the room to get as quiet as possible. And then you just go through it. But it just doesn't seem to be the case. I think she kind of manufactured this situation where she's constantly having to. And I'm like, girl, you are in charge. Before you start singing, be like, guys, silence.
Yeah.
And they will shunk.
Like, and it's hard because all the other songs, if you've ever been to a Lorde concert, like everyone is singing the songs with her. So it's like,
yeah, they're really
loud. Yeah, B-sides as well. Everyone's like, right.
Every single lyric. So
the shushing thing's weird to me as well.
I think I saw her.
I feel like she tried to make a meme. I feel like she was smart.
She's actually quite good at making in her career. Like even with the Solar Power cover with her bum on the cover, it went viral straight away. And
yeah,
this is what she said about the shushing thing. This is the interview. I've done the roof.
Oh, you're getting all journalists. Barbara Walters in the house.
Yeah. She goes, that was something I did in that one song a couple of times. Sorry. That was something I did in that one song a couple of times when I wanted to sing it at a cappella and or off the microphone so people could hear me. And because I wanted to try something different, if you come to my shows, you know it's like an hour and a half of us all singing and screaming together. Also, that dramatic ass move was literally for an album called Melodrama. So don't stress out too hard.
You know, Floyd, you could have done that in your normal accent and it would have been the same.
I was going to say, are you not New Zealander?
She's like trying to put on a...
It's like double layering.
Oh, yeah. I am not enough. Oh, no, she said more as well. Sorry, I'll also read this in my notes. Oh. She goes, I think occasionally there are moments for silence and there are moments for sound. There are moments that belong to just one person and there are moments that are all of ours. And that's just life.
I mean, that's a bit...
I mean, that's very
Lord, come
deep.
On. Yeah.
Like, I love this, though, because I would love... The thing is, she gets away with speaking like that. You hear that and you go, what a poet.
I know.
She's a poet.
She's got great...
I say something like that and it's all like, you know, Gabby, stop being such a fucking wanker.
Yes. And she can make it seem funny. Like she said in one of her shows live, she was like, oh, you know, I've been thinking all morning, guys, because of the shushing thing, like, I've been misunderstood. And they were just all laughing and being like, yeah, you have.
I love you, Lord.
Yeah.
But she's had that kind of like, that like elder states person nobility since she was 16.
Very poised.
Yeah, and just very kind of like quite a deep person, I think.
She's very much, she's handled it very well too. Like I could not have reached the level of fame.
The fame. Well, I think I reckon coming from New Zealand helps.
Yeah.
That like humble sort of beginning.
It humbles you.
You know, for me personally, I find the fame is fine because
I just really embrace my fans. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. Yeah,
I know.
I should aspire for that.
I know.
Well, New Zealanders don't take themselves seriously in this situation. No, I think there's a very kind of like.
And her family would not like be treating her like she's a superstar.
They're quite just a normal family. I think her mum's a poet.
Yes. That checks out.
Yeah.
And her dad's a civil engineer after Marisa.
I think if your parents are a poet, then you don't laugh at poetry. And that's how you can take your poems seriously. Yeah.
Can you imagine being in a studio, right? Picture this. There's like a world-class producer and you're like, so I wrote something. I feel good in the hood. Is this any good?
I give myself the ick when I recite lyrics, even if they're my own.
It just makes me cringe. I know,
even
me too.
Singing
and
my
even
songs.
If I think they're good, I'm still like,
ugh. I have to be like, I almost can't take my songs seriously. Like, I can't get on stage. If I've written something genuinely, like, quite sad, I will never perform it. Like, anymore. I'll be like, nah. No one wants that from me. Fuck it, I don't even want that from me.
I know, but also we're comedians, I think, and I think she's a very earnest person.
Yeah, so
I think
she must be nice. She's not concerned with a laugh every
she's
5 to 10
She's trying to get
seconds.
A laugh, yeah, whereas we're just...
Lorde isn't looking for a type 5.
No. Yeah.
Can you imagine we go do a comedy set at some fucking gig and Lorde steps up to do a type 5? And she just reviews
she'd
onion rings. She'd crush.
Fucking
do you know
good,
what? She would probably be really funny.
She'd crush.
Yeah,
honestly, when I listened to her dealing with the shushing thing, people were laughing
she's,
and I was like,
she's funny,
oh my God.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's like Adele, you know, like it's just that
Peppa
thing.
Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
We talk about that, I think, on every
so
episode.
So funny.
I feel like, I know we're comparing women again, but just on the subject of Adele and Lorde, they both like, they'll only do like publicity and stuff in the lead up to an album. Otherwise,
yeah,
they
so
go,
smart.
They go and live ding, their ding, lives. Ding.
This is a good and like and something. And I'm not sure if you feel this yeah. as a New Zealander too, but in New Zealand we don't have a huge amount of people that have got internationally famous.
No.
And what I love is when so many of them.
Who
do,
would they be? It's just
Tyka.
Like Lord
Tyka Waititi, Peter Jackson. I mean, there's a couple.
What's weird
but,
though
know,
is you don't have a huge amount, but the ones that did fucking nailed
went,
it.
Like,
yeah, they
went
nailed
big,
it. They
yeah.
blew up.
But what I love is that like she got all this opportunity in the world. She could have been whatever. She could have. She had every access to everything, but she still moved back to New Zealand, you know, yeah, and yeah. she bought a place, and then she'll spend like.
We'll say she lives in the most posh suburb in Auckland.
Yeah, she lives in a
yeah.
really posh suburb.
Really
oh,
posh.
But
she lives
would,
in a, she lives in a suburb that's so posh. I'm from like trashy West Auckland, and we literally used to drive through on Sundays in the car, looking around how nice the houses were. You know, that's what like you know kids in the like regular suburbs do, and she lives there, but she can afford it. But the fact that she moved back and she's like, I don't give a shit. I want to come back so I can go to my you know brother's. Ball.
Yeah, one of yeah. my friends growing up, she lived in Herne Bay, and I yeah would like go there and be like, oh my god,
it's really posh.
Wish my parents didn't pursue the arts, but that's a separate thing. And then, but she often like goes to parties and stuff, and has met Lord a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like at house parties. But and apparently she's very this is just talking boss here.
I do love though that if I had come on here and made the joke like, oh, it's your mate, Lord, and the fact that you actually know someone who fucking
I know someone who knows her too.
Fucking hell.
One person who knows Lord. Yeah.
I want to hear the party story.
Yeah, go
oh,
on.
Just that yeah, she was at this Christmas party, just like being very chill, just chatting to everyone, sitting down, you know, like
so
someone
cool.
else was playing on the piano. I mean, imagine
she get up and sing?
Imagine having the audacity to sing, being like, you know what? I'll sing.
I would, though.
Oh, Lord,
I would.
Yeah.
I'd be like, do you want to play Green Light in a B flat?
Yeah. Like,
I hear so.
I know.
I
feel like when we're together, we just automatically go, Brittany, what is this?
I've just had an epiphany about Lord, actually.
Okay.
Just, like,
well,
in my head,
a lot of epiphanies today.
Her voice gives me David Bowie Bowie vibes.
Oh, I'm glad you bring that up because David Bowie is one of her inspirations.
And also he said that she is the, you don't know this.
Voice of a
David angel. Bowie, he met Lord a couple of years before he passed and he met her and he said, Lord is the voice of the future of music.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
Wow.
And actually, speaking about comparing women, I said Kate Bush. I also could have said David Bowie because I feel like he has that same fervent fan base and his he had peaks
very
and troughs.
Loyal. Totally.
And they lasted with him throughout all Ziggy Stardust and all this different stuff. And I feel like she is
same.
Playing her cards to be that kind
she'll
of person.
She'll be a long, yeah,
she'll
legacy.
Be a, yeah, legacy person.
This is a on her Wikipedia. It says her inspirations are... So
Jake
David
Howie.
Bowie, Grace Jones,
That checks out.
Bonnie, am I saying this right?
Bonnie Raitt.
Arcade Fire.
I can make you love.
She's one of my
favorites. I love Bonnie Raitt. Yeah, I love. Can we do a whole episode on Bonnie Raitt right
we'll
now?
It, yeah. Arcade Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Prince and Kanye West.
One of these things
are
not like the others.
Take that off, yeah. That checks out, doesn't it?
Prince?
Oh, and her
mum.
Oh, that's a bit cute.
Sonia Yelich.
No.
Oh my god,
her name's Ella.
Ella Yelich O'Connor. Her mum's family were a Croatian.
What do we think of her having a stage name? I sort of like it.
I like it.
I wish I'd gone with a stage name.
I love stage names because the thing that they're perfect, like, it's hard because I want to know at what point do you decide to have it? Because I feel like when you're fucking mega famous, it's very handy to have a stage name because you can book things under your real name. Like things that matter are under your real name, your license, an appointment, whatever. But if I were to walk into the Comedy Store and the MC was like, how do you want me to introduce you? And I was just like, Liza, my middle name's Elizabeth. They'd probably be like, why?
Or just all like, Stardust, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like, you know, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Everyone would be like, oh, is this a bit? Like, are you going to address that? And then you get on stage and you don't address it.
Yeah.
Everyone afterwards would be like, are you a fucking
idiot? Yeah, but how, do you have to be famous to make a stage now? It's very
I feel like you'd have to pick the perfect
moment.
But then
it's also too sometimes it'll be too late once you've got your following. It's like they're not going to...
Exactly.
I think Lady Gaga now that she's like an actress and, you know, I think she probably is like, oh, fuck, I'd like to just be Stephanie Germanotta. Yeah. But now, because I think when Star Is Born came out, they wanted to put starring Stephanie Germanotta and Germanotta and Bradley Cooper. But then everyone's like, but we know he was Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
So I think Lorde's the same. Like, she can never go to the...
Can't go back.
She probably would, because she's fucking Lorde. Lorde, if you're listening to this, I just really love your music.
Aww.
Imagine so if good. She just hit you up with an email.
This has been a nice ep, because I feel like in other ones we've been more torn, but for Lorde, we all just love her.
I love her.
I think.
I don't think there's too much to not like about her. You can kind of... I think there's very few people in the history of music that have reached the level of fame and success that she did initially.
At that age, yeah.
And she chose to reject it. Like, even Melodrama was a huge critical hit and was a big hit, but she waited 4 years, did not try and go real pop and whatever. And so I feel like there's an element of kind of disassociation to her. She's
definitely all about the art and not about the...
And that's rare. And that's how you can kind of tell, and this is no shade, but that's how you can tell she's not American,
yeah,
I think, because I think a lot of American artists, they 100%. Really find it hard to get that success, and I think it's a cultural thing, because I feel like Aussies are the same. Aussies can get to big success and just go, nah, whatever, I'm gonna go back home, like,
yeah,
it's a real antipodean thing, and even like Adele, like British thing as well. But Americans, I think, when they get that level,
I think it's because
they have like a perfume line,
you're told externally, you know, the place to make it, particularly in music, is America. It's like the place to make it is America. Once you make it in America, you make it worldwide. If you're from America, you're like, this is the place to make. I live in the land of hopes and dreams. And the reality is, you kind of don't. And it's an awful place.
Not anymore. Oh my God.
Yeah. She is one of the stories that I don't think this was like a, I promise this is the last thing I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
I feel like it. This manufactured thing of like, they were discovered on the street, whereas Lorde appears to be one of the genuine cases of like, she
was discovered at a very
she was discovered at a young age, and she released a song. She was part of Sony already, so there was probably a bit of backing, but I don't think, I mean, and Floyd would know this, and in New Zealand, no one would ever dream that a 16-year-old girl would release a song.
No, that would go that viral.
Exactly.
No, she definitely has
whereas
talent.
In America, I reckon there's so many, and there's so many parents being
you can pay
for it. Finished your EP?
Yeah. you can pay for it in America. You can literally pay. Wow. There are agencies of like those kid develop, like basically mini Mickey Mouse clubs all over the place.
Yeah.
That create garbage music, and they don't let you have any artistic integrity, and they don't really.
Yeah.
I feel like America crushes people. Yeah. Like, I feel like if you grow up in the American scene, like, you hear stories from the Disney kids who become mega famous, like, all the time, being like, oh, my childhood was fucked and everything was awful. If you built it yourself. And, like, I mean, to get out of Australia or get out of New Zealand, you kind of just have to work really hard and have a lot of talent. Like, I feel like that's the only way that the Americans give you the time of day anyway.
And also, and can I just say, especially because I'm sure most people listening will be from Australia or New Zealand, you don't have to move anymore. That's the beauty of the internet. No. There's always going to be, you know, London, Paris, New York, whatever. That's always going to be kind of a hub of creativity. But I really think the notion of
having to
leave and having to make it, but you know, you can kind of make it big anywhere now.
Yeah, now you release your own stuff online.
Online,
it's crazy how
EPs, comedy albums,
and that's when we're announcing our EP together as a triplet. It's like
we're called Lorde,
Music goss. I wanna beat your hoven.
Floyd, what the hell was that mean?
I was trying to be sexy for the segment.
We said we were going to change that every week, segment, and we never did.
And you know, the more I think it gets funnier.
Do you know, Floyd, that was really horny, and I appreciate it.
Okay, so I'm doing music goss this week, aren't I?
Yes.
Aren't I?
Is it?
Am I doing it? I said yes. So, Jake, we just tell a bit of music goss, and then you guys can just let me know what you think about it.
Yeah.
Often it can be quite graphic.
I love
this.
The more graphic, the better.
This one is actually not so graphic. But it's still interesting, okay?
Yeah, we were going down a slippery slope.
Yeah, so I am a classical violinist.
Someone has calluses.
Someone call the press.
In 2009, this amazing violinist, his name is Joshua Bell. Have you guys heard of him?
I haven't, but I'm obsessed with an amazing violinist being called fucking Josh.
Joshua Bell. He was like one of the world's, well, I think he still is, but he certainly back then was the world's greatest violinist. He did this experiment. It was like funded by someone in America that he played classical violin on the Washington, D.C. subway station for about 45 minutes.
Wow.
Okay.
So he now, busked.
Like, yeah, he busked. That's the word. That's the word. He was busking for 45 minutes.
This experiment.
She's trying to make it sound fancy because it was like a violin. It's like, it's still fucking busking.
But it was on like $1 million violin.
I don't care. It's still busking. Okay, it's
but basically, normally he's doing like big concert halls, selling out, you know, $1,000 tickets, playing $1 million violin. But so he played in the subway for 45 minutes. And during that time, like, practically no one stopped to listen to him.
What?
One person gave him a $20 note because they thought they recognised him, much like you.
And that was Floyd.
Yeah. But in total, he made $52 for the hour. Bit sad, isn't it?
Do you know what this is?
Anyway, the point of this goss is to pose the question.
To tell everyone that you play violin.
No, it's to pose the question that, like, well, okay, I think it's sort of interesting with violinists is that they're often anonymous, right? Even if they're that famous, they could get on a subway. Like, do we think that Lorde could be on the subway singing and people would just walk past being like, what if she was wearing a disguise but sounded like Lorde?
They do that on, like,
James Corden.
They got away
Aguilera.
With it with Miley.
Yo, and everyone was like,
Yeah.
It depends. If you want us to answer that, which city? Because that would probably depend, right?
Mm. In Sydney, no one would give a fuck.
I feel like in like London and New York, people wouldn't care.
I feel like I think was in like Auckland, this in Melbourne.
Shit would pop off.
We were both like this in Melbourne. Not that I have any following, but in Melbourne, I'm like, they don't know me here.
But in Sydney,
I'm like, these are my people. Yeah. The
what I like about this story is that it kind of, you can kind of relate it to almost what I think of the art world, where like, an artist can be worth billions of dollars and create an artwork that looks like fucking dog shit.
Yes, yeah. Yes,
and it will sell for millions. But a preschooler could make the exact same artwork and obviously not sell
but
and make any money.
The crux of what you're talking about is thick, rich people, I think, because the artist is probably like, lol, like this is the shit I do for money.
Yeah.
What I do on the side is the actual art.
Yeah.
But it also makes me think it's partly about like the platform, like where it is. So like if your art is in the Louvre, people are giving it respect. If you're performing in the Sydney Opera House, people are giving it respect.
Yes.
But you know, if you're performing in some dingy bar like I was last night, no respect, you know? Like
or in
if you were there last night, fuck you.
No, but I think that sometimes the issue with stand up is like you're in like a shitty small bar.
You really have to work.
It doesn't it doesn't like demand respect.
I know, but there is. I'm gonna say it. There's an element of classism here.
Yeah.
Because when something is in like the Sydney Opera House, what you said to a couple of other venues that were good, like but you know,
the Louvre,
all that sort of stuff.
Love doing stand up there.
It's my favorite actual venue. So, but there is something about the fact that like people like to what you're saying about art before. People like the idea of paying $250 to go and see. And like we all know as comedians, I mean, I've done the same set in a night where people are paying $50 a ticket.
Yep.
And ones where I have to pay people to listen. You know, like, and it's the same set. The quality is the same. It's just that when you put it in a different
and often when they've paid more, they're more willing to laugh because they're like,
which is the secret of comedy, guys. If you just manage to get into gigs where people have paid, they'll pay because they're like, I better make this worthwhile.
Yes, exactly. The higher the ticket price,
they're on your team. The higher they've paid.
So I think it's about that as well, and people being like, "But oh, we're part of this elite, you know, like we get it, babe.
We're culture."
Whereas if it's on the subway, probably the people that would appreciate it are people that maybe aren't those kind of you know, art wankers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that busker's really talented.
And what's really bizarre about it is that the art wankers are probably more likely to be pissed off with you.
Exactly.
Oh, and then if you saw that person on stage, people were like, very good.
Oh, very talented.
Yeah,
you know.
So true. Okay, well, speaking of batshit musicians, this week I've got two nominations.
Great, because I don't have one.
Okay,
so
Gabby, that's two episodes
in a row.
I
know.
I think it's becoming a pattern.
It's because I've been too busy bloody recording. The things that I get here. Yeah. Open
guys,
my
I'm
laptop.
In the middle of a fight right now, and it's getting really awkward.
Yeah. Okay, so this week I'm doing a rider theme.
Oh, nice.
Is that what you say?
Rider? A rider, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay,
stage rider.
I found maybe these. I think are the two craziest. So Madonna. She has a hefty rider. Okay, so she insists on 20 international phone lines.
Oh, don't you guys do that when you go to gigs?
Is that there a step for that now?
Comedy stars. Excuse me, can I have 20?
I need to call France. Why? Just because I want to.
Okay, 20 international phone lines. A 200-person entourage.
Doesn't she have a cell phone? What? Like,
I don't know.
Bitch, she's Madonna.
Yeah. Her backstage room must look exactly like her own home. So that means it's got to like replicate
furniture. But I understand that. That's comfort. Yeah, home comfort.
I mean, yeah, but you're in it for like an hour.
Okay. Special flower-scented fabric. That's nice. Actual flowers. Personal chef who prepares only vegan foods.
That sounds delicious.
And her own dry cleaning services. I feel like it gets more normal. The 200-person entourage, her own house
food and water.
In the backstage room, and the 20 international phone lines is crazy.
But also, as you said, Gabby, it's Madonna.
It's Madonna. Like, yeah, right.
But she's earned her stripes.
Fair point. Okay, next one, Ozzy Osbourne.
55 live bats.
Okay, no. So one, he insists on... He insists on a nose, ear and throat doctor being present.
Okay, I kind of love that.
Same.
The way that I sometimes warm up and go, oh, she's not what she used to be. I just wouldn't mind a camera down there.
Yeah.
Somebody just give me one of those fucking... Yeah.
Then he also requests 3 oxygen tanks that doctors can, I don't know, so that he can like breathe the oxygen. Anyway.
I love it.
A B12 shot right before he goes on stage.
This is my rider.
And fire extinguishers.
Why?
Personal
that, fire. I am not kidding. If I were famous,
that what you'd write?
That's my rider.
It's just an anxiety.
Oh, no, I'm full Madonna.
A B12 shot. I'd be like, yes.
200
vitamins.
Entourage, yeah.
But you know what? I read something about riders because I used to think the same thing where it's like you read some people.
What
like,
would you guys put in your riders?
Well, you could. I've only ever put bottle of water.
Ooh, oh my God. I'd put a fruit platter.
Okay.
I'd love that.
If we're talking sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit.
Oh, sky's the limit. I would have
a pasta chef making fresh pasta for me. But you know what? But can I just say, imagine this. So you go in. I like the idea of the B12 shot. I would like a Pilates instructor for stretches before the show.
Oh, yeah.
I would like a couple of my friends, a masseuse, all that sort of stuff. Then afterwards, you do the show, like, you know, for us, comedy, but whatever the show may be. Then you come back out and the pasta chef has a fresh carbonara handmade. Because, you know, after a gig, I'm always ravenous.
Me too.
Like, I'm like, you know, then you go back into your room and the masseuse is doing that and you're eating carbonara.
Riders are like an interesting concept because I used to read, Coldplay requests a whole lobster.
Oh.
Right? And you go, what the fuck, you fucking entitled pricks. But
the other thing is they have to pay the riders.
Yes.
They pay it out of their salary.
It comes out of your salary.
Who told me that?
I can't remember.
Is it Chris Martin?
Maybe? Yeah. He would. Self-aware king. But the thing I find interesting about riders is when you have shitloads of money, you may as well, like, may part of me goes, you may as well ask for these crazy things because it's not only asking for things for status, you're actually asking
giving
for those
to
things
your crew.
To prove that the crew who you're going to have actually read everything. The idea is, because I heard this from somebody and I can't remember who it was, but the idea is if they haven't given you your rider, God knows what else they haven't
read.
Yeah,
with speakers and
you give,
all
when you're doing a stadium show,
that's
you
why
give
someone
specs,
like
you
green
give.
M&Ms or something. I've heard this too. Oh my
Wasn't
God.
Wasn't that the Mariah Carey? Only brown
so.
M&Ms?
Yeah. So in a way, I'm kind of like Madonna's. I think Madonna's is a bit much,
yeah.
But I do think it's like, well, if you were that famous and you have the money
having
to spare.
Having the furniture replicated from your house
your
is
house,
a
that's
lot.
Batshit. That is batshit.
I do feel like just Ozzy Osbourne, I feel like that is too practical for a writer. Like it's kind of like, shouldn't writers be a little
it's
bit
It's not
glam?
At all what I expected from Ozzy
the
Osbourne.
The oxygen tanks is a bit much. I don't think you need oxygen.
But if you need oxygen to perform, you probably shouldn't be performing.
Choose
a different
Also, Ozzy Osbourne's like nearly 70 or nearly he 80, is. Isn't he?
And he's lived a life.
Yeah,
he'll be Darth Vader.
He would have
what
taken a lot of drugs.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I guess it's I'm finally
Madonna
undecided.
Or Ozzy Osbourne or both. We don't.
I'm
care
undecided.
Either.
To me, the one that shocked me the most was Ozzy Osbourne because it was so practical.
Yeah,
oh,
there you go. So batshit crazy because he's not
because out of character.
Because it's almost like you want a doctor. Like I would think writer. I think of like sheets that smell like fucking eucalyptus.
Yeah.
Or sorry,
yeah,
you
that's
said,
Madonna.
Yeah. Sheets of broken glass on the floor.
Yeah, 28 roses that are half red and half pink and all that sort of stuff. That to me is very traditional Mariah Carey style rider.
Yeah.
So that I would expect that from Madonna. Ozzy, I would expect kind
bats.
Of bats, bottle of Jim Beam or
yeah,
something. You know?
Yeah, totally.
And bats,
more.
Yeah.
And 15 wives.
Yes.
And yeah, and Sharon Osbourne's gonna be there too.
Naked.
She's like, oh, fuck's sake, Ozzy.
Well, what do you say we close this episode out with a classic Lord sing along, huh?
Yes, let's do a sing along. What song do we wanna do?
Three, two.
Wait, are we just mind reading?
I am my mother.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, the cap's on me.